Dear Pastor, why don't you talk about the beasts of Daniel in Revelation? Dear Pastor, why don't you prepare the people? Tell them what the Antichrist is. Define the number 666. Dear Pastor, how can you call yourself Adventist, let alone shepherd, if you don't teach your people these things? And happy Mother's Day. I was watching the doors to see if any of you would leave during the scripture reading. The sermon series is called Dear Anonymous, people so passionate they must write, but so sensitive they will not sign their names. We are not giving you all of the topics. We're not giving you the most interesting or entertaining topics. We're giving you the most frequent topics. Not everything we've read. Years ago, maybe 2002, 2003, a note came in the offering plate that said, "Dear Pastor, can you find people who can stay awake to sit on the platform?" That went to Pastor Dan. We're also not giving you the most wounding of the letters we receive, like the letter addressed to me, "Dear Jezebel," or to my colleague Jennifer, "Dear Whore of Babylon." Take a breath. People really write these letters. We are not litigating our deepest pains during this series. We're talking about the most frequent topics we receive in anonymous letters to the pastors. And we are listening. We are doing our best to sincerely listen. What's the core concern? Is there something we have missed? Is there something worth talking about? Dear Pastor, there are beasts in Revelation, and a lot of them. How come you don't talk about it at this church? When we get these letters, these end-time letters, there's a vocabulary list that often comes. The vocabulary list looks a little bit like this: Revelation, end time, papal, final warning, Antichrist, three angels' message, apostasy, ecumenical, Daniel, repent, Armageddon, prophecies, pagans, earthquakes, Rome. The vocabulary list usually looks similar when we get these letters. "This is our Advent message, Pastor, precious since the founding of our church." The visuals that go along with such a vocabulary list, oh my, you can find plenty, plenty, plenty online. They look a little bit like this kind of post-apocalyptic city. This is the mild version of what floats around now in the visual content that goes with this vocabulary list. I'm listening for what is the core concern, though. Can I hear the heart of the letter? With my most generous ears, what is it? What's the problem? What are they addressing? And we're asking the question out loud here because this might not be your concern today, but you're related to someone who has this concern. You know someone who has this concern, and you better not send them all to us. This is why we're talking about it out loud today. After about 18 years of listening to people and their concerns over this particular topic, I want to summarize this morning. There are several options, probably. The core of the concern, it's diverse. Here are a few things I would put on the table. There's a genuine concern to share the good news because we want people to know and to be aware God is good. There's a genuine concern for that. There's also a genuine concern to be Adventist, that this has meant something all along, that what we learned so many generations ago is still valuable today. We have this concern. There's also a genuine desire for the end to come. Am I telling the truth this week? Oh my goodness, if the end could just come and if we could just talk about it and be a little more urgent and work more diligently for this end. I got an email on Wednesday this week that warned me May 12 was going to be the day of destruction, catastrophic destruction worldwide. the person who sent me the email also gave me a script for how to prepare people for the doom that was yesterday. It was going to come in a massive earthquake, and he suggested that I take an ad out in the Press Enterprise and in the Los Angeles Times, and that the church be open. I don't quite understand the logic if we open the church and an earthquake is coming. I guess we all die together. I didn't process all of that. Dear pastor, sign your name, print it in the newspaper, get the word out. You see, there's a genuine desire, an urgency that the end would come because then we can all go home. I believe that's genuine. There's also a genuinely frantic and unhealthy attitude. Something genuinely frantic and unhealthy, these convictions that work their way around. You know them, you were raised with them, many of us in the room here. Frantic and toxic even, right? A few years ago, I showed you this warning sign. We're traveling in Vietnam, Kirby and I. We don't read Vietnamese, and the Vietnamese didn't do English quite as well. They gave us a warning sign in English. This is the warning sign by our swimming pool where we were staying. Number one, again, this is translated into English. Number one, rules for the pool, okay? These are the rules if you intend to use the pool at this hotel. Outside the infected skin, rule number one. Let me give it a minute to come up on the screen. You can't read it, I'm going to read it for you. Outside the infected skin, infectious diseases are not the swimming pool. Yeah, that's the first rule. Second rule, children under age 11 must have a bath when relatives directly supervising. Rule number three, do not swim, must wear a life jacket before the swimming pool. Number four, to bring it down before swimming pools. I have no idea what that means. Number five, must shower prior to swimming pool. We get this one. Number six, obey the orders directly by rescue workers. There are rescue workers at the swimming pool. Number seven, your self-preservation, money, and your page. The general director and the staff is not responsible for money, jewelry, valuable customers. Number eight, for drinking, beer is not the swimming pool. Oh, you got that one. Number nine, you should leave the pool before the end of time. Leave the pool before the end of time. There's a real genuine urgency, friends. We sense it. We're aware of it. But sometimes it's frantic and toxic. I'm not sure we always know the difference. And fifth, there is, among some of us, just a genuine displeasure with the church and the people who lead the church. Church growth experts and psychologists who work with church people tell us this group of people will always exist. They're called the engaged agitators. They won't go away, but they won't stop complaining. You understand? There's always a good, healthy percentage of these in every congregation, which is why many of the Dear Anonymous letters go to the trash can. Because we know engaged agitators, if you're so unhappy, go somewhere else, but oh no, they'll stay here and complain. So it really doesn't matter what we do with Daniel and Revelation, there will be a complaint from that last group. Now I want to remember these diverse options, right? There's a genuine concern to share the good news. There's a genuine concern to be Adventist. There's a genuine concern for the end to come. We are sometimes genuinely frantic and toxic. And we are also just generally grumpy, a few of us. Can I layer now another complexity on top of this, if we can track together? We are also all so very different. Times change. Teachings change. Temperaments are different. In the mix of all of this, times change. This is not 1844 or 1900 or 1915. If you get an infection in your leg today, the doctors can solve that. But if you were Uriah Smith, we would chop your leg off. Times change. Teachings also change. There was a time in the church where if you hadn't repented, the door was closed. You could not be in heaven. We don't teach that for a long time now. Teachings do change, and our temperaments are all different. I referred you months ago to a brainwave podcast where they talked about the differences in the way we're wired and some subconscious and unconscious convictions we have. Some of us lean a little more toward rules and authority and order and responsibility. And some of us are a little more wired and we're maybe not even aware towards openness and justice and compassion. And it sounds like one might be good and the other negative. They're different. We're different. In the mix of all of this, then, in our last 15 minutes this morning, I want to share my heart on the topic, dear pastor, why don't you do more beasts at this church? I share my heart in the form of three short stories now. Story number one. In the office this week, Lorianne and Regina, you know, our assistants in the office, when they learned the topic was beasts this weekend, Regina said, "Why? Why?" I said, "Say more." "Well, when I was in fifth grade, my grandparents took me to camp meeting. I was so excited to go because we would play with all of my friends. We would be outside. It was going to be great. And when we got there, my grandparents took me to a meeting with all the adults. I went in and I saw a movie screen and I thought, well, this will be fun. If I can't play outside, at least we get to watch a movie. It was a narrow room and a big screen on the back with black sheets hanging on either side. I don't remember how it began or how it ended," Regina said. "I just remember lots of crying, screams from people, blood and bloody hands moving across the screen, feet. I remember trauma. I remember someone said, 'Jesus is sitting in the window.' I remember wailing and then people saying that probation is closing and the time is short and everyone should repent and there's an antichrist, and the room was so scary." On the ride home with my grandparents, my grandfather began to unpack the film we had watched and said, "You're in fifth grade now, Regina. The end of the time will come soon. You should repent of all of your sins, or you won't go to heaven." Regina says, "I remember in my head, what's the Antichrist, and do I have the mark of the beast? How would I even know? How old will I be in 2012? That was supposed to be the end of the earth, 2012. How old will I be then?" One of the reasons we are challenged with talking about Daniel and the Revelation is because of the way we have talked about Daniel in Revelation. If I did not just tell your story, you know someone who has that story. And you probably know several someones, and it might be the reason your children or your grandchildren are not with us today. Stories of past abuse with the Bible and with Daniel in Revelation. I believe that we have post-traumatic stress over Daniel and Revelation, and we're not over it yet. As I listen to people talk, the trauma is deep. But trauma can be our teacher, friends. So when we talk about Daniel and Revelation, or we talk about end time things in this church, it's always in our minds as your pastor, we're doing reparative work, we're doing restorative theology, because we all are, many of us are working out of past traumas on this topic. A few years ago, we did a sermon series called Jesus and the End. It was 2012, and we decided to take the words of Jesus, not Daniel and Revelation. Let's look at what Jesus says about the end, because he says quite a bit, especially in the Gospel of Mark. This was the little video trailer we made to advertise the sermon series.
The end of the world as we know it. What will happen? How will it happen? What should we watch for? What should we do to prepare? What does Jesus say about the end of the world as we know it?
This is a little ominous, Pastor Devo, now that I look at it. We did a focus group of people before the sermon series. This is what we think we're going to talk about. Talk with us about the topic. We couldn't find one person in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s age range that wanted us to do that sermon series. Not one. In fact, we heard a few who said, go ahead and do it, but we'll just be absent for 6 weeks. Why? Because of past trauma on this topic. We went ahead and did the series because we had a group of people that said, we trust you, pastors, but this is not our favorite topic. We remember carefully around La Sierra when we talk about Daniel and Revelation that we have old issues that are still unresolved. About every other year, we have talked about this topic. We did a series called Journey On, which was our sort of from an Adventist perspective about Adventist faith and the end. Jesus and the End, the series that you just heard about. We did something called Vintage Faith 1 year. We did a Revelation series a few years ago called Letters from the End of the World. We did a series on Isaiah, a series on the prophet Amos. And in the midst of all of this, we try to remain very aware that past traumas are still alive. And in the midst of all of that, there are new generations, friends, who have no respect for the Bible. Keep thinking about what this means in the world in which we live and work and breathe. New generations that don't take authority from Scripture. How in the world does Daniel and Revelation sell in the new world? Second story. Several weeks ago, we had a sermon series, The Skin We're In, one of those Sabbaths. Pastor Austin and Mandy Schultz talked about mental wellness, actually mental illness. Several of you spoke with them, spoke with me, but one family. I'll choose one story. We come to church week after week after week, and we don't tell people what we're living with. It's trauma in our home. We've had mental illness for a very long time. We live kind of in the closet on this topic. We don't know who to talk about over this, who we can talk with over this topic. We come to church week after week after week, and we came to church the day Pastor Austin and Mandy were up front, and we heard our story. We heard the chaos that is our household. Mental illness has us by the tail. It's where we live and breathe and where we don't know how to survive. Frankly, Pastor, we don't need to hear another sermon on doctrine. We need more of that. Because the beasts are not all locked up in the future. The beasts are present. So it is, we attempt around here to talk about the beasts that are very present in our world. In that series, we talked honestly about being a citizen in this world, this political world. We talked about our bodies that are aging. We talked about being sexual beings. We talked about the challenge of gender and sexual identity. We talked about technology. We talked about humility. We talked about relationships that don't work well because the beasts are present in our lives today. So this is part of what we do with our time around here. Talk about the kingdom that Jesus taught us. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Be attentive to the powers of this world. Because the beasts aren't all locked up in the future, and the good living is not all for later. I'm so excited. The Emancipated Minor gift drive is on again. Pastor Austin mentioned the name of a student, Belinda. Talk about beasts if you've grown up in the foster care system. Belinda knows La Sierra because we honor her at graduation with a small token and because she comes to this campus for a Christmas party every year. And friends, it's finally happened after 6 years of reaching out to Emancipated Minor. We've got a live body. Belinda wants to come to La Sierra University and study. She wants to study social work. It's about $2,000 a year every time we do this little graduation party. It's a small thing. We show up with a party favor and we sign cards that say, we love you. And now we have one that lives with beasts who wants to study here. And the price tag just went up. We need about $20,000 now. Come on, friends, we can do this. Where's this foster student gonna get her money to educate herself? This is what we've been dreaming for. Because the beasts are not all locked up in the future. They're here in the present. But they don't have control in God's world. Final story. I saw a graphic in January. The graphic was from a church, not a random church, a church that I first attended when I was 7 days old. A church where I grew up and giggled through the hallways and played jokes on the piano teacher in the junior room. A church where I was baptized. A church where I learned to serve and lead. A church where I was married. In January, I saw this graphic. This graphic is from a current series on Daniel and Revelation that the church was leading. There is a picture with, I'm going to give you a minute. Because you can tell this is not a graphic from 2015. You can recognize world leaders. You can recognize one of the beasts and several, there's the dragon and the bear. You see creatures that maybe have looked familiar from over the years. I saw this graphic. I know the pastor. I decided to reach out to him. Tell me about this. He said, yeah, it's something we use. So-and-so developed. The evangelist is coming. I asked, would it work if we put a picture on the promotional of the earth made new? What if we put a picture of all the races getting along together? We could have blacks and Latinos and Asians and Anglos living together peaceably. What if we put a picture on the front of bodies being healed and repaired? What if we put a picture that shows the end of war and poverty and starvation? He said, We use this image because it works. And I poked a little. I said, are you sure it needs to be this? What if we just put a picture of Jesus on the front, Pastor? He said to me, the research is very, very clear. See, most people have heard of Jesus. But Jesus isn't enough. It's sad, he said. I'm happy to talk more with you about this. And I will tell you truthfully, church, a couple hundred people went and attended these meetings. He said, what people need is not peace and love and harmony. People need to see the chaos. It's the chaos and confusion that draws them in. I finally just went to the very base level. I said, but it's ugly. He said, it's ugly. It's probably the ugliest one we've used. I said, can I quote you? You can. But it works, Pastor. And here is where I will happily take my stand. Friends of La Sierra, Jesus is enough. If you need to hear more beasts, if you need more chaos, if you need to understand and have someone lay out charts and draw lines and connect dots and do things with the books of Daniel and Revelation that they were never intended to do, there are many churches we could choose in the area. But in this church, Jesus is enough. When we did the series of Revelation a few years back, we began every Sabbath with Revelation chapter 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the command a few verses later, do not be afraid. I don't know if you remember, we repeated that every Sabbath. And then we said together, we know this Jesus, we know this God, we are not afraid. So this is the La Sierra University Church. It turns out that when you interviewed me in 2008, no one asked me my opinion on Daniel and Revelation, but the search committee was very concerned my opinion on grace. So we come to our old friend Ellen White, who reminds us that everything we read in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation must be seen from the light that streams from Calvary. We don't read Revelation we don't read the cross from the light that reads from Revelation. I've heard people say, if we don't have Revelation, we have nothing. If we don't have the creation story, we have nothing. No, if we don't have the cross, we have nothing. Can we read one more time these other additional words from Ellen White that we read a few months ago? The shortness of time is urged as an incentive for us to seek righteousness and to make Christ our friend. This is not the great motive. It savors of selfishness. Is it necessary that the terrors of this day of God be held up before people to compel us through fear to right action? This ought not be. Jesus is attractive. Jesus is attractive, full of mercy and love, she goes on to say, and compassion. He purposes to be our friend. He purposes to give us an inheritance. Jesus is attractive. It turns out Revelation and Daniel have much to offer us. Oh, absolutely. I am with Eugene Peterson, who his book is a few years old, Reversed Thunder, when he says, when we get to the book of Revelation, it's not new information. We've read it all. The story has all come before. It's not new information. It is new imagination. It is new inspiration. So when I found my little Amanda at 8 years old in the back of the church with the Bible open, reading Revelation, she was reading with eyes that had not yet told her how to think. No one had interpreted symbols for her yet. No one put great battles and war scenes in front of her. No one mentioned Antichrist, 666, Armageddon. No one told her what a faithful remnant was or wasn't. With her own little 8-year-old eyes, she's reading the book of Revelation. When I find her, I said, Amanda, what are you doing? I love this book. I said, why? Because mama, it gets really, really bad. And then it gets beautiful. In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, our guide, may we be faithful to that beautiful love, we pray. Amen.